Not entirely sure what we're going to talk about today. I got a couple ideas, I guess, but...
Cool.
Yeah?
I should have talked about it before you turned the everything on.
We don't always plan. No, do we ever really plan these out?
Sure.
No, never.
I mean, at least before we turn it on, you tell me what we're talking about. But it's, I mean, we could just talk about our last couple weeks of rotations, because
we need to catch everybody up. We'll talk about that, and then, yeah. I just feel like I still smell like poo. I got pooed on by my patient today.
That's the true meaning of love right there. You know that they love you.
Well, the thing is, this patient couldn't control it, so it's kind of sad. But, yeah, I'm getting over that feeling. I've changed. And my scrub top is in the wash, so.
The traumatic experiences of being a vet student.
It's actually kind of, it's okay, because it literally happened within the last half hour of me being there. And as I'm holding this animal, I was like, that doesn't smell like a normal toot. That smells like a little bit more. Maybe I should put you down. And as I put the dog down, I looked at my scrub top, and I was like, yep, you pooed on me.
I mean, I think anal glands are worse, though.
Oh, it's so much worse. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was just more of like, I looked at it and I was like, well, that's suboptimal. But, and then, of course, it just kept coming out of the dog as I had it on the table. So I was like, I can deal with this. I can deal with this.
Well done.
Yep. Yeah. Do you want to just, we'll do this?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Scrubbed In. My name is Mo.
And I'm Danny.
And we are vet students at the Royal Dick School of Veterinary Studies here in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Whoop whoop. Which is sunny at the moment.
It is, actually.
Because I like
sunny.
To give you our weather update.
We do actually give them a weather update
because I like you to know if we're sitting in rain or sun.
Or snow.
True.
Or sleet. But mostly dark, cloudy rains. But we've been pretty lucky with sunshine.
Anyway, so the weather's been great.
That's what we talk about when we have nothing else to say. No, it's been a while since we've both been at the mic.
I know, been together.
Yeah, well,
I feel like it's been a while, but really, we've both been here the
last
2 weeks.
Here.
We just haven't seen each other very much because I've been running around doing a whole bunch of things. And
yeah, in rotations.
We're never home at the same time, and we don't even see each other in the hospital very often.
No, like, I saw you today, and I was like, oh my gosh, hi, Danny, and then you were gone.
Yep.
I was like, that was it. But, yeah, it works out with final year, even if you, like, live with someone else in your class, it's okay, because you just never see them anyway, so.
That is true. Yeah, like, we see each other in passing, but that's really it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other people, like, I don't see them.
No.
I've had to specifically message certain people and say, hey, let's get together for dinner because I haven't seen you
in so long.
Forever.
Crazy. You're so used to seeing them every single day in class, and then rotations hit and you're like separated into different groups, and then those big groups are separated into even more groups. And it's rare if you ever see like someone from another group. And then when you do, you're like, oh my gosh, you are actually still here. Yep. Okay. But yeah, so what have we been doing for the past couple weeks? Let's see. Did we talk about the first? I don't remember how far we even got in that last episode. Guys, my brain is not here.
Wow. We really should have like looked back before we started.
Possibly. But either way, like right now, I'm starting my week of internal medicine. And Danny is starting...
I'm pretty sure we talked about the first 2 weeks of this block.
I think so.
But we didn't talk about the last 2 weeks.
No, we haven't talked about them.
So yeah, I'm in oncology this week.
Yep.
And I was in dermatology last week. So
that's right.
Skin and cancer have been my last
2 weeks.
Woo!
And I was on cardiology last week. So I went from... I feel like that was a nice way to do it because cardio kind of touches on internal med. And that a lot of services refer to cardio because they found something and they want to put it through anesthesia. And they're like, ooh, the heart's kind of weird. Let's make sure that's stable before we put this thing under GA. So we kind of get a couple different cases that come from like internal med or oncology or dermatology for some random reason. And then it was a nice little introduction to literally kind of getting like hellfire today for internal med because it is nuts, but in the best way possible. I really was looking forward to internal med, and it has exceeded my expectations, and it's only been one day.
I know. Only one day. Yeah, I was in cardio again today, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Went back for a visit. It's been a while for you. Did an echo with my patient.
Nice.
Who tried to bite me, but it was fine. We have an understanding now, I think. and by that, I mean, I understand that she will try to bite me. So we are aware of each other now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we went back to cardio. And then it was also interesting because I had a dog with a skin cancer. So I was like, oh, I feel like I'm just applying dermatology from last week to this week.
It is nice when things start crossing over and you're like, oh, I kind of understand that now and can at least say some words on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't understand oncology. Oncology is, I mean, I say this about a few things that, like, it's not my best subject, but oncology really is not my subject. And I don't want to say I don't care, but I don't think oncology for me is, like, always my, like, if people would be like, oh, I'd really like to do chemo, I'd be like, well, I mean.
It's not your first pick.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my first thing to do, so I don't care as much about it. And so then they're like, what's this cancer? And I'm like, to me, all cancer is cancer. Like, you've got cancer, and it's, and they're like, how do you treat this cancer versus this cancer? And I'm like, is it not the same? So, like, it's really bad. And I'm aware that, like, I am bad like that. But the last 2 weeks have definitely been things that I'm not as interested in. I still have learned a lot on both weeks, and, mm-hmm. and it's been good. But people are like, oh, like, are you enjoying the week? And I'm always like, yeah. Whereas before, I was like, yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's really great. And now I'm like, yes, I am.
Kinda.
But it's all right. Like, it's good. But it also doesn't help that I think oncology is a big topic within my group especially, but also just people and mm-hmm. veterinarians in general. Like, should we do it? Should we not do it? Is it ethical?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? And all of this stuff.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who they go into oncology with, like, very rigid ideas about either yes or no on it. And then a lot of people do come out of it with a more rounded view, I feel. And they're not as opposed as when they first started oncology. I mean, that's an ethic debate for each and individual person. And obviously, it's not something that we can decide for the clients. So it's beneficial in the way that you get to learn, how do we talk about this with our clients? How do we provide the best treatment options that we can without putting the welfare of the animal at risk? But also keeping in mind the human-animal bond, which is a really, really big part of it. And, yeah, the discussions can go round and around and around and around. And
yeah,
everyone
for sure.
Just has to come to their own conclusion.
And the staff in oncology is really great. Like, all of the residents are good. All of the interns are really good and really nice. They explain everything. And
mm-hmm.
So it's been, I mean, it was really good today. But it's just, I'm definitely don't know anything about it. And they ask stuff and I'm like, I don't even know what we're talking about right now. Like, for real, don't know. Like, usually when I don't know, I'm like, oh, I was like, I don't know, but at least, like, kind of seems like I should. Whereas this one, I'm like, I don't know, and I probably won't.
See, that's where I go running to the nearest computer and look up on Vin whatever we just talked about, and I skim as many articles as I can, and I come back with something so that we can have an actual, like, a discussion with the clinician. And they're like, oh, they can see that I put the work in to try and understand it, and that I'm going to them to really go more in depth into the topic so that I maybe have a better understanding of it coming out the other side. Granted, I feel like some weeks I really try to nail down a topic and really understand it, and then I finish the week, I go to the next service, and
everything
I learned
from the previous week
is
gone.
Like, push, it's gone. It's like the penguins all over again.
I just love that I'm always like, oh, I like this just makes so much sense now, when you're like, oh, I remember talking about that in lectures, it didn't fully make sense. Now it makes so much sense. I'm never going to forget it.
And then
the next
week
comes around and you're like, oh no, something else has replaced that very important thing that I learned last week that
so,
clicked.
Yeah, my dermatology penguins were pushed off by oncology penguins, which were pushed off by cardio penguins, which are now getting pushed off by internal medicine penguins.
So there you
They're aggressive penguins.
Lots of dying penguins here.
Well, they're not dying. They're just not on the iceberg.
Oh, disappearing penguins.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of them, I think, have been eaten by a whale, which is rather unfortunate. But yeah, we'll see what happens when the Navli comes around. See how many of those penguins are still there. Or if they've abandoned ship.
Yeah, like I enjoy dermatology, although I think out of all things, like I have a level of growth, and it's funny, we were talking about it. It's like, you know, a lot of vet students, we don't care about gross things, but we all have something that grosses us out, even though we like gross things. Mine is like oily, gross skin and drool.
Melanesthesia.
So like drool and the like the dogs that walk in all oily and skin yuckiness. And I'm like, ugh. And so last week they were like, this dog's coming in. It's like probably really oily. And I was like, I can't have that. I was like, I'll stand and I will watch and I will learn. But I please don't make me touch it. Like, please don't. And they were like, you do realize that you're going to have to get used to it. And I was like, yes, but now is not the time. Like, I'm not ready. Between that and drool. Like, and we have really, I love big dogs, but I could never own one because they're all so drooly. And when they shake, I was walking this dog the other day and he shook his head. And this big thing of drool literally wrapped twice around his muzzle. And I just was so grateful. I was so grateful. I was like, thank you for staying connected that it wrapped around your face and not mine.
It is pretty gross when they do shake and it goes all over you because it's cold and wet and it just sticks to you. And
stop
you can
it.
You can practically peel the drool line
off. Oh, you're just making
and, like,
it more disgusting
it
now.
I know. I'm actually really trying to gross you out right now. And it's working and it's really funny. I wish you guys could see this right now.
So yeah, dermatology was good. Like, I didn't not like dermatology, but I just struggled because all these dogs kept coming in and I was like, these are all like crusty and oily dogs that I don't really want to touch. And then I'm like, I could pet you, but I'd rather not.
It's like, I will hug you from a distance.
Yeah, I'm like, I love you and I'll give you like a pat on the head
and
then I'll
I will wash my
hands. Whereas other dogs, I'm like, yes, come to me. I will cuddle you. Please sit on my lap.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everybody has their preferential services. I mean, I've only just done one day in internal med, but I really think I'm going to enjoy it.
Internal med's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of the craziest services just because you are slammed wall to wall. But I think there's a high level of challenge in it, which I really enjoy. And the clinicians really pressure us to try and get on board with our cases, really figure out what's going on and take the lead. So like sending us in, obviously you go into the consult, you do your history, you do your physical exam, you come out, and then you talk with the clinician about your findings and what you want to do moving forward. And they discuss whether that's a good idea, bad idea, some ideas you come up with, and they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And you're like, oh, I feel kind of smart. Ooh. And then you go back into the room and they discuss the findings and the treatment plan with the clients. But then when you take the animal out of the consult room, like, it is your responsibility to make sure it gets to its, like, if it has CT radiographs or ultrasound or where you name it, that it gets done, that if it needs an IV catheter, that all of this is done and you're following up on it. If it's sedated for radiographs or ultrasound, you're the one monitoring the sedation. And like today I had one of my patients that I was doing exactly that. I was monitoring during sedation and they came in and we discussed the findings that the specialist had found on the ultrasound. And they're like, all right, Mo, what do you want to do with this dog now?
I know. Sometimes that question is really like terrible because you're just like, what do I want to do with it?
Excuse me, what? And the thing is, I had just been listening to the heart to take its heart rate and respirate. And then they asked me that and I was like, huh? I probably had the dumbest expression on my face because I was just caught off guard. And I was like, well, I kind of really want to do this, this, and this. And they're like, what else do you want to do based on the thing that you were really excited to find on your clinical exam? And I'm just like staring at them going, what did I find?
What was
I
excited about? I don't even remember.
What did I find on my clinical exam? And they're like, about the heart. And I was like, oh yeah. Then, and I was able to come back to it. But it's putting the pieces together.
Sometimes you don't realize you found something significant until they tell you you have. And you're like, excited about that for a good reason.
So
yeah, of course.
No, or Yeah, so like it's just putting the pieces together and doing this kind of repetition over and over and over again. Because like in lectures, you're taught, okay, say it's like an Addisonian dog. And you're like, these are the clinical signs of Addison's disease, and these are the tests that you will run. But then the dog is actually put in front of you, and you're like, derp, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, bringing everything back out is
putting the pieces sense of it together. All. Yeah, and then but you get really excited when the plan that you do have, like, it works. And you suddenly see things actually put in action. Like, they ask you, what kind of sedation do you want? And you have to come up with the reasons, like, what you would choose, why you would choose it, and what kind of dose you'd want to use. I felt pretty proud of myself when they asked, like, oh, what's the dosage of this particular drug? And I was able to say, and they're like, very good. And I was like, woohoo, I only know that because of cardio. I've really enjoyed seeing how my confidence has grown in these last couple weeks as compared to, like, the first couple.
Yeah, like the first block that we had.
I feel like I have more autonomy, which is really, really helpful considering that we're, what, 8.5 months from graduation?
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like I've blurbed on about that. What are your thoughts? If we go on the topic of...
What about graduation? I'm so excited.
Well, yes, I know you're so excited about that. I am too. And like, it's been creeping closer and closer. Like, even today on the bus, I was like, in a couple months, we will have taken our NAVLE. We will have taken our finals. We will technically be doctors. And I was like, Dr. Mariah McCauley. Dr. Mariah McCauley. Doctor. And I was like, just saying it over and over again, because I was like, the reality that is what I'll be in a short couple months.
Well, I was just thinking, because I've kind of changed plans slightly, and like I'm going to go home and work for a couple weeks in the clinic before I head to like my internship in December. And so I'm going to go back and work, and I'll have finished core rotations. And so like technically, I mean, I still have selectives, but I was like, in my head, technically I should know everything that I really need to know by that point, and like I could go and pretend to be a doctor and like should know the answers to what's gonna happen, and
or at least know where you can find the answers.
Well, yeah, but I mean like I should at that point be able to go into the clinic, and I could do the same thing there that I'm doing here and have the doctor follow me, and I could do it all, and he could just stand in the background. And I was like, that just makes it more real to think that I could go back home and do the same thing that I do. Because for some reason, being here, I mean, it's still the same thing, but it seems so different because I'm here. And I'm like, but going back home where I think I'm going to go back and work and stuff, I'm like, that just seems really, really different.
And be the doctor.
Yeah.
Because like here, anytime a clinician or anybody who's senior to us, which is practically everybody in the school, asks us a question, like, you already know that they know the answer.
Yeah.
They're testing to see if we know the answer. Which is always terrible
when they ask you stuff and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, but reality is, like, when you're dealing with the clients, whether that's here at the school or back home or whatever, or even just, like, different, when people ask you questions about veterinary medicine, it's not that they are testing us. They don't know the answer. So when they're actually
Which
asking us...
Which makes it so much less scary, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but no, it's just getting out of the mindset for the past... However, 20-some years of our life, whenever anybody asked us a question, it's been because they already know the answer, for the most part. And now we'll be going into scenarios where we're the knowledgeable ones, and people aren't asking us like a question to test our knowledge. They're asking because they legit want to know.
We can't like tell them the answer and then be like, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, which is why, like on dermatology, one of our clinicians, it doesn't matter what you say, as long as you say it with confidence. And so, like, if he asks us a question and you say it kind of like this, like, that sounds like you don't know the answer. And so he'll actually say with confidence. And, like, it doesn't matter if it's wrong as long as you say it with confidence. So, which is really funny because, like, you'll say it with confidence and then he'll be like, good try, but it's wrong. You're like, well, geez.
He was so chuffed with himself, though, too, because, He's known for telling students all the time to say, like, be more confident, or he'll say, yeah, now say it with more confidence, or anything like that. And he was so chuffed with himself. He goes, because I had a client who basically did my job for me the other day, and somebody answered a question that I asked in the exam room, and they did it with that whole questioning look, and she just was like, you can't do that because now I don't trust anything that comes out of your mouth. And he was just like standing in the background being all excited with
like,
himself.
I told you so.
And he was like, see. And of course, like, he was there, and like, and the client was really nice about it, but she was just like, if you say it like that, I now don't have any confidence in you whatsoever, and I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah.
And the student was like, you have a point. And he was just so chuffed. He's like, I tell students this all the time, but they don't always believe me.
Yeah, I mean, some of the clients are really good, and like, they take on the fact that this is a teaching hospital, and they take it on with seriousness. And so they do actually try to help. And some of them are teachers themselves, and so they kind of understand the sphere of what we're doing. But that's something that just like, it's the reality that pretty soon we'll have autonomy. And like, sure, we'll have like our mentors or our seniors in the practice, but it's not like someone's telling us on a schedule, oh, you need to go get this done, or this is actually the plan, now just follow through with it, like following a step-by-step book. But you have to come up with a plan. You have to come up with, why do you want to run that test? What kind of things are you looking for? If you don't find anything, what does that tell you? And thinking through that thought process. And I'm getting a taste of that now, and I'm really enjoying it. I thought I'd be a little bit scared of having this much autonomy, but it's almost to the point where I'm chomping at the bit, and I'm like, give me more freedom, please. Within a safety sphere of being at the school, it's not like we're just set free to go run random tests on animals. Like, we have to get everything okayed. But I'm really enjoying that kind of freedom. It's tantalizing, and I just want more of it. Is that odd? Is that
I mean, I think you just got to be careful that you're not overconfident.
Oh, no. Totally not overconfident. But the freedom to try and make mistakes with, like, if they ask you, okay, what do you want to do? Like, they're legit asking, okay, what is it that your plan is? Tell me why that's your plan. Rather than, this is what we're doing, tell me why that works. But, like, giving the option to me to come up with a plan and then discuss it. And then figure out, is that actually what we're going to do, or is that not? And here's why or why not. So that kind of
freedom. Yeah, I've found that every week they've done that for us. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's built. I think I have been able to have more of a plan as the weeks go by. But even from week one, I remember them being like, so what's your plan? And I'd be like, no.
But I feel like I have more confidence in what I'm saying to kind of take the freedom that they do give us and explore it a little bit more rather than just...
And then wait till you get a case where it comes in and they're like, what's your plan? And I'm like, my plan is the exact same plan as what the vet has already done. And I don't have a plan anymore because... What do you do? And then they're like, you're right. This is one of those really random cases where I've only seen one of these twice in my career. Good luck. And they're like, this is really cool that you've seen one. I finally got a case confirmed to me today where he's like, yeah, you saw this. It's really cool that you saw this because I've only ever seen two.
Oh, that's awesome.
And because I was like, oh, good. This makes me feel so much better that the fact that when you said, what's your plan? And I was like, I haven't got a clue. And he was like, neither really do I. But we're just going to kind of redo stuff and hope that it works out.
Yeah. But
so sometimes you get confident and then you're like, actually, I really have no idea because something comes in like that.
Animals have a good way of keeping us humble. They really do. But I've just enjoyed kind of taking that a little bit farther each time and figuring out what is making a plan look like. Because obviously, like in lectures, they'd be like, okay, what are your plan? Or what in a tutorial, they'd be like, what is your plan for this make-believe case? And everyone comes up with like the gold standard testing and everything. And then suddenly they're like, oh yeah, but remember you have financial constraints or something. And you're like, okay, yeah. But like actually doing it in real life where you find out the animal that you're dealing with is not insured and the owner has 300 pounds that they can spend on this animal. And you're like, well, snap, what can I do? Or maybe the owner doesn't want their animal to stay overnight. What are your options? And just being flexible and learning that kind of flexibility, I guess, to use the same word.
Yeah, I mean, I still find, like, even in this hospital, when they use the words financial constraints, it does not really mean... I mean, it means that they have financial constraints, but it's not really financial constraints compared to when you're in, like, general practice and they really only have,
like
$100
yeah.
and that's it. And you really have to figure stuff out. Like, here they come and they have financial constraints, but I think the least that they've ever said was like 500 pounds, which isn't a lot, but no, even still, like, you can get a CT, you can get...
Yeah, at a referral level.
You can get quite a few things for that at a referral level and, like, good testing, whereas most places I've worked, when they say financial constraints, it's like you've got an exam and then an extra spare, like, $30 or 30 pounds or something. So I understand what you mean, and, like, I get it. Yes, there's financial constraints, but I also am just excited to go to, we go to, like, another practice.
Yeah,
it's a general practice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to see what happens.
Really, there's, like, more financial constraints.
Yeah. And you don't have a CT or
you don't
an MRI
have any
at
of
your
that.
Disposal or like, a fancy ultrasound.
So, I'm
looking forward to being on DivSAP and going to, which is our, like, the general practice we have within the hospital. And then there is, like Danny said, there's an additional small animal practice that we go to that's, like, a general practice. And we get to basically have the most autonomy, I believe, out of all of this. Because, like, an animal comes in, it is yours. You do pretty much everything. You come up with your plan, and the clinicians are there to obviously help and support and guide you. But it's not like they've meticulously reviewed the case and have their absolute gold standard steps that they're going to do before you've even seen the animal. Whereas with the referral hospital, like, before I've even seen the animal or their history, like, they've already been booked in for a CT and an ultrasound or whatever, and I'm just like, I have to go back and be like, oh, why did they book them for those things? And then I'm reading through the history being like, oh. So that's another level that I'm excited for with the general practice.
Yeah, it'll be good. And I think I just prefer general practice anyway. Like, I like being in the different areas of the hospital, and I've learned a lot, but I've also learned that I really don't like the referral hospital atmosphere. Like, I enjoy it and I'm learning a lot, but I don't think I could work in a referral hospital.
Yeah.
And it might be different if I was in one place all the time, but also I just don't think I can pigeonhole myself into one one area. I would struggle too much. So I'm excited to get back to the general practice stuff. But anyway, it's good to learn in the different areas, and they're really good. At least the last couple of weeks, they've been really good at saying, this is what you're going to see in first opinion practice. These are the things that are most important. You need to know these things. And then here's some cool things that we've done or that we learned that you probably won't see again, but you can kind of now be on the lookout in case this happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think dermatology was one really good one for first opinion cases. Because you get, like, the poorly managed...
Because you see a lot of animals with bad skin and bad ears.
Yeah, with, like, atopic dermatitis. That's just been poorly managed or wasn't put under complete control at the start. So then they're a little bit out of control and have to go to a referral level to be put under control so that they can be managed at the general practice. Was that hard to follow? Did that make sense?
No, it's okay, I think. If not, rewind, listen again.
And if it still doesn't make sense, I'm sorry. But yeah, so that's been kind of like my recent thought about all of this is, like, as we only have one more block in small animal, actually.
I know. Yeah, we've only got, like,
we have 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Well, after this week. So 5 weeks, technically. Yeah. But yeah, 4 weeks after this one. And then we move to equine and largies.
I'm so excited for equine. Oh my gosh.
I'm excited. I'm more excited for largies, though.
I know. I'm excited for equine. I mean, I am a first opinion person when it comes to equine. I really enjoy going out to the farms and the stable yards and seeing the horses and the clients and seeing them in their natural habitat, if you will.
In their natural habitat. It's like...
Being outside.
Watching the horses or the owners in their natural habitat? Which one are you referring to?
Both. I mean, sure, when you're at the referral hospital, they're on your turf and you have a little bit more control. But it's a lot different. I really enjoy first opinion practice. Sometimes second opinion gets a little hoity-toity for me. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. But I like the kind of first opinion issues that you see in dealing with them there.
It will be good to see the difference between large animal practice and small animal practice. Because I've only ever worked in one hospital that was mixed. And even still, like, they had us as technicians kind of separated. So they had their technicians for the large animal and technicians for the small. And
yeah.
And it's not that we didn't go back and help them from time to time, but really we were kind of separated. We were friends, but we were separated. So I've only really ever worked with smallies in a clinical setting. I've like been around horses and things like that growing up, but it's completely different when you're in a hospital than it is when you're just, you know, in your natural habitat, as Mo likes to say.
Yeah, it's a bit different. And then, yeah, so we do 4 weeks on equine, which includes our out-of-hours cottage duty, which people have mixed feelings on. I don't enjoy the lack of sleep that we get by being on out-of-hours, where you have, like, every 4 hours, you have to go and do checks on the inpatients and give meds and do colic checks or whatnot. Some animals end up being every 2 hours, and it really becomes a pain in the butt. Thankfully, it's, like, spread amongst all the students that are involved on that week. But I know some people have not so great ideas about it.
I know some people wish that they could, like, avoid cottage duty for forever. No, I like cottage duty. I would choose cottage duty over ECC.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I like cottage duty. It's really good. I don't know why you think I have a problem with it.
Well, you're
do I love horses in general? No, I would prefer smallies over horses. But I do enjoy cottage duty.
Okay.
But I do agree with you. I hate the lack of sleep.
Yeah, the lack of sleep is not my favorite thing. But then after equine, we have 4 weeks on a large animal, which includes some, like, an abattoir visit, some clinical pathology, some farm visits, a dairy health check.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go see the dairies.
Yeah, I'm more excited about my, like, small ruminant and camels and things like that.
Well, camels are fun, but cows
are
better.
Okay, yeah, okay, we're a little divided on that thought. I really do love cows. They're very cute. They're very cute, and they have just sweet personalities. But yeah, I think that, and then after that, we get our free block.
Whoop, whoop.
Which, that means Navly time.
That means Navly time. But we're not thinking about that just yet. We're only thinking about the holiday that comes after
no,
Navly.
No, I'm thinking about Navly time.
I'm thinking about it, but I'm just pretending like it's not happening at the moment.
Yeah, but the reality is that's coming up in, well, September, October. That's like 3 months away now.
I know. I know. You got to do the 3 month study. I'm on the 3 month study plan.
You're on the 3 month study plan.
But I only think about it during the time that I'm studying for it. I don't think about it during the rest of the day. So you have to prioritize. So, like, Navly time is in the morning, and then the rest of the day, I pretend like it's not even a real thing. Makes my work life balance and my mental health so much better.
I try to take everything as, oh, this is a, how would this kind of a question be put if it was for the board exam? Whenever they're asking, or if I remember something from the night before that comes up during the day, which happens a lot, actually. It's interesting. Something that I'll be asked on my vet prep the night before or that past week will come up during the day when I'm on clinics. And I'm like, well, at least this has, like, clinical relevance. But I'm able to ask the question and get some more in-depth answers. And hopefully it sticks better in my head then.
Yeah, it usually does with cases, to be honest.
I don't really separate it.
Oh, I separate it real well.
Good for you. I'm just trying to take as many learning opportunities as I can.
I mean, in all seriousness, I study vet prep during vet school. Like, when I'm at the clinic and we have a downtime, I'm doing questions. So it's not like I separate it that good. But for the sake of right now, I separate it so good because mental health is important, y'all.
It is. But I actually really enjoy doing the questions. It's a little bit addictive, especially when you're like, if I...
Overachiever.
Hey!
Oh, my gosh. She's looking for some vet prep freebies or something.
No, I'm not. I do seriously enjoy going through the questions sometimes when it's really satisfying when you get another percentage.
Oh, you're a box ticker.
I am.
Not gonna lie, I like getting the questions right. I agree with you, but I'm not addicted to it. I do the questions I have to do, and then I'm like, right, I think I'm done now. Well, I can move on.
If the thing is, like, on the study guide, if it says, like, do 100 questions today, I look at it as get 100 questions right, and then I'm allowed to move on. I don't just do 100 questions. So I probably sit there a little bit longer than maybe I need to. for that study day. But when you finally make it over the 25% mark, you're just like, phew, I can kind of sit back, but not a lot. But Navli's coming. It'll happen. Everyone else survives it. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that topic.
We all know that I have nothing more to add to that topic.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the kind of summing up the rest of our, what are we, companion animal medicine?
Yep.
Yeah.
So then we're going to do general practice.
Yep. So general practice will happen. And that'll be a whole other can of worms to open up and talk about. But yeah, autonomy. It's a really good thing. I'm really enjoying it. Danny's apparently also enjoying it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Pretty soon we will be the doctors, and that'll be really exciting. But I don't really have anything else to add.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
No. Nothing?
I think we can say goodbye now.
Danny's like, I'm done with you guys. Bye. But
I need a nap, you know?
Oh, no. I have to.
At 7 p.m., I need a nap before I go to bed.
I still need to write my notes, my clinical notes from today, because my patient took a really long time doing diagnostics. And I wasn't about to stick at the school to write them, because we can write them at home. Anyway.
Hashtag vet student life.
Hashtag vet student life. Yeah. But at least now I can eat food. I'm quite hungry. Okay, I'm rambling. Yep, as usual, guys. Love hearing from you guys. If you want to support the podcast, because I know you do. Yeah. what?
Nothing.
She can barely handle me today, apparently. I just get really excited when I'm about to eat food, so that's what I'm thinking about. But yeah, go ahead and share this episode with one of your friends, one of your colleagues, if you want to help support the podcast. And as always, you can find us on Instagram at @thatvet_life and Danny at
adventurous.vet.
Whoop. And love hearing from you guys. And until next time, see ya.
See ya.